Are you intrigued by true paranormal stories? Do you crave tales of the strange, the dark, and the mysterious? Tune into our new podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Each episode dives into chilling paranormal phenomena and spine-tingling urban legends. From ghostly encounters to hair-raising myths, we explore the unknown. So if you're brave enough and not easily scared, subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for ad-free episodes.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
One. Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. Why do we
don't know
who's Dan?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Him. Yep, don't know him. And we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Make sure you check out our social media. We have YouTube Shorts, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
See, we also have a website currently under construction, so still go check it out, but beware, there might be some glitching going on. www.limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
That's it.
See?
Yeah.
Oh. All the things.
All the things, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are we doing today, Sammy?
We're shorts. Doing...
More shorts.
More shorts. Who could predict that? Who knew? But this time, we are officially doing Pixar shorts, of which,
great. Oh my goodness, these were so
It
great.
Was hard to narrow this down, I gotta be honest. I was like, they're all so good.
We could have just done a summer of Pixar shorts.
Could have. There's so many. Oh my gosh.
God, yeah. So good.
Yeah, it was really hard to pick, but, you know, I did my best to try and get a variety in there.
Ones. Yes. Good ones.
I was just like, okay, which ones out of these are my favorite? All right. So the first one we're going to talk about is all the way back to 2000 for the birds. One of the early ones.
Was it the first one?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, because we had that old man playing chess. I think he was with Toy Story.
Okay.
I feel like he was with Toy Story. Yeah.
Classic.
I almost picked him. One. Yeah. It's like I said.
They're all great. They're all great. They're all so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. But this one's still pretty old. 2000 still holds up. Still makes me laugh. If you haven't seen it, basically we've got these little tiny pudgy birds all hanging out on a wire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making fun of this very large, awkward looking bird who ends up getting the last laugh because, yeah, he tries to sit with them and ends up flinging them into the air when they kick him off the line. And they all end up featherless and naked. And then he gets to laugh at them. And I just love it. And
I know I'd seen this before, but what movie was this at the beginning of?
Monsters, Inc. I have the list up right
now. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Monsters, Inc. Academy Award for Best Animated Short.
Oh, as it should, because it's great.
Monsters, Inc. really that old? That's crazy. For some reason, I was thinking it was like it came out later.
No.
It came out in 2001.
Wow. So, I would have been in like freshman year of high school that year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know it was that old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry, by the way, Jerry's game was not Toy Story. It was A Bug's Life.
Oh.
It was A Bug's Life. I do remember that.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Toy Story showed some of the older ones. Tin Toy, Lux Jr. Okay. And...
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Red's Dream and the Adventures of Andre and Wally from the 80s were not in a movie.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Bug's Life, man. Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
Crazy. They redid, or they did show For the Birds again for Luca.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently it was at the beginning of Luca.
Oh, well, that's theaters. A good choice. That's a good choice if you're going to rerun one. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Anything else for that?
I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just making sure. The next one is Bounden from 2003. So this one is in just like a nondescript Western setting someplace. Where we've got this cute little sheep who just bounds around and dances with all his little friends, his little animal friends. And then he gets sheared and loses all of his pretty, you know, what does sheep have?
Coat?
Yeah. I was like, it's wool. Not fur. Wool. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Wool. And he's very sad because everyone's kind of laughing at him. And, you know, he's kind of scrawny and pink and, you know.
Yeah.
But this jackalope comes out of nowhere.
And
he's just like, listen, man, you got to just live your life. It's actually like a really nice lesson in not worrying about what other people think about you and just being yourself. And and then they start bouncing and dancing together. And the sheep learns how to do that year round. And it's really very cute. I was just going to say my favorite animal, though, is the owl because he just looks insane every time he pops up and it just makes me laugh. Yeah.
Disney and owls, they always make them very like crazy looking in certain times. Like I rewatched Sword in the Stone the other day and I'm like, you are making some interesting faces there, Archimedes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I have a thing with owls.
I love owls, though. They're so majestic.
They're pretty cool. They're pretty great.
Yeah, it's true.
Bounden was released with The Incredibles, and it was also on the, I don't know if it was VHS or DVD, but you could watch it when, like, they had it in theaters and they had it on there. Sadly, it did not win anything, but it was nominated.
Okay.
I do remember watching it in the theater and at home. Not which movie it was with, but I definitely remembered watching it on the DVD for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then we've got La Luna. Oh,
this is probably my favorite one.
I love this one.
That was so good. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. So this one's from 2011. And yeah, it's visually stunning. And it's this little boy. goes to work with his dad and his grandfather, and they just go out to the middle of the ocean. They wait a little bit, and then they put a ladder up to the moon, and they clean up the stars on the moon to give it its shape. Oh, my goodness. There's no dialogue in this. There's a lot of kind of, you know, just noises, whatever language they're supposed to be speaking. Oh my gosh. And I just always love, you know, the little boy is stuck between the two, and when he has the two different
the little
for the brooms.
Yeah, the brooms. Yeah. One looks like the beard, the other one looks like the mustache. Yeah.
It's so cute. I just love this one.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I love how surreal it is. Like, it's so dreamlike. Mm-hmm. I mean, climbing the ladder up to the moon, and then like the way they shift perspective, so it goes like upside down is right side up. You know, I love that. Yeah. I love stuff like that.
So well done.
Sorry. I remember seeing this in theaters. It was in front of Brave, mm-hmm. and I went to see Brave with my mom, mm-hmm. and it was. I remember just it ending. I'm like, you know what? If that's all I came to see, I'd be okay with it. Like, that was perfection.
Yes. And totally worth it.
I kind of forgot about it until we did this. So I'm like, man, there's some of these that I need to put like a star, like star them, so I can just go to my watch list and just rewatch them whenever I want. Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
It was robbed. It did not win an Academy Award. It was nominated, but it did not win for animated short, which I think is just the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this one is just
I'm gonna
so
see who
good.
Beat them. Keep going.
Yeah, now I'm curious.
Something cheesy, probably.
Something cheesy, maybe.
Usually that works. Quality's passed over for popularity.
I mean, unfortunately, when you're looking at the awards, yeah, that's kind of how it is, right? Mm-hmm. Is whoever's most popular, which is unfortunate.
The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore.
No idea.
I have no clue what this is.
It's a very long title compared to this.
Yeah.
It's a 15-minute short.
15. Wow.
From New York Times bestselling author and beloved visionary William Joyce.
Okay.
Please. Okay. A young writer wanders into a mysterious library after a storm devastates a city. The library is home to magical flying books that literally come to life. Okay.
Well, Ashley would like that one. Yeah, so yeah, that's cool. I can't believe something Ashley would enjoy. Okay.
It would, but La Luna. La Luna is so good.
Now
I'm going to have to watch this later and see if it's any good.
And see, let us know if it lives up to the hype.
If it does, I'll send you something and be like, okay, you should watch it.
I just like the title versus quality. It's like the one that won is like the fantastical, mystical books of the thing and the face and the one that we all wanted to vote for. It's like moon.
La Luna.
Yeah.
Moon. La literally Luna. The moon. La Luna.
The moon. The moon.
Is that so La Luna, like in my mind, I can't tell if they're supposed to be Spanish or if they're supposed to be Italian.
I thought they were Italian, but
sounds Italian.
Okay. It seemed to me it was Italian, the way they were speaking.
Well, Luna is the moon in both Spanish and Italian.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover between Spanish and Italian. Mm-hmm. Right, I remember this. Exactly. Well, they're
very Italian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there was a song that we had to perform in concert choir back at Southeastern in Italian. One of the lines was, O faccia d'una luna, which means the face of the moon.
Mm. Oh. So, okay. You did that freshman year, right?
Yes.
Yes, because I have pictures of, I didn't get to go that night, but I have pictures of you and Josh in your
tuxedos.
Suits and tuxedos.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good times.
Oh.
They cleaned up nice.
They did.
I'm sure. I'm sure. let's see. What do we got? Okay. Next one is Lava from 2014.
Oh, I knew this one.
Oh,
I skipped this one just because it made me sad because I've seen it before. So.
This one makes me cry.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You've got Uku, who's a lonely volcano in the Pacific Ocean who sings for his love for millions and millions of years. And then another volcano hears him and she's down below and then she comes up and then he goes down below the ocean. And I'm like, this is terrible. This is when Pixar, I'm just like, I can't deal with you. I can't. Yeah.
This came before Inside Out, for God's sake. I mean, it's like, you get acid all thrown, you need all this, and then we get Inside Out. It's like, 2015 was a rough year, man.
They were killing us that year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were really messing with us.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
What sucked is this didn't get nominated for anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good, though.
I know. Yeah.
Rude.
I'm not going to lie. Lava kind of reminds me of how they animated the female. Reminds me how they animated Tahiti in she was the base.
Yeah. I feel like she must have been an inspiration when they did Moana. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think so.
I definitely saw a lot of similarities.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, next one is a little happier. It's Piper from 2016. Okay. So this one is Academy Award winning.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we got a little baby sandpiper bird. And he's so cute and he's so nervous to go out into the ocean and get his food. And then he watches this little hermit crab who buries down into the sand, and then he does it. And then he's like, this is great. Look at all the things I can see under the water. And then he just lives his best life after that.
He does.
Oh, it's adorable. I just love it.
Oh, I love sandpipers. I think they're so cute.
Oh mm-hmm. my gosh. Yeah, especially little fluffy baby ones.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. What was that one before? 2016?
Finding Dory.
Ah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Oceans. Yeah. Yep. I could see it. Yeah, I could see that.
Yes.
And then we got
Bao.
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 Okay, thank you for helping me out. Yeah, I was feeling like it was something more like Bao. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So this one's a little sad. I'll give you that. Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. It was sad, but at first I was like, I was like, where is this going?
I will say this one was confusing to me and a little disturbing and sad. It just kind of culminated everything for me.
Yes,
It came together in the end, but at first I was just like,
what is happening, right?
We'll talk about it then, yeah.
Yeah, so you got a Chinese mom, an aging Chinese mom, who essentially, it's really about empty nest syndrome with her son, but in the short, she makes her little dumplings, and one of them, like, comes to life, and then she raises the little dumpling, and everything's going great until he's like, I want to go make friends, you know, and do other things and leave the house and not hang out with you all the time. And that makes her upset, and which, you know, it's part of life. And then, you know, she eats him.
Yeah, that was the disturbing part.
And then, you know, we find out, like, her son comes back, you know, like her real son.
Yeah, it's like reminds her. Yeah, she's having a whole, like, coping kind of thing going on. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it came together in the end. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, if I'm sitting at the table and my little dumpling that I made suddenly starts crying like a little baby and comes to life, I'm going to be looking at it like, am I Ozzy Osbourne just tripping out right now? Like, what is going on?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would stab that thing with a knife. I would just be like, this is a demon and I'm not having this. I've seen too many horror movies. I'm not stupid. Okay.
Where's Sam and Dean when you need them from Supernatural?
this thing has got to go.
I need Buffy.
Or Buffy.
Yes. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it, man.
Who's a little Bao demon? Who's a little Bao demon?
That is one of the best things. That's what you should do with it. I'm
probably
throw them on the floor and smush them with your shoe.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's going through this whole sequence. And I'm like, first of all, where's the dad? Because he's just kind of disappeared. And this mom's going through this whole
until
the end. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, and then she eats it. I'm like, is she going to poop it out and then raise the turd? Like, what's going on right now?
I remember watching this in theaters before Incredibles 2, and I'm like, I don't know what I just watched.
Yeah,
there was a lot happening in this.
Yeah. It all tied together perfectly. Like, it got the message, and
at the end,
And it was cool that, like, the person he married or whatever, like, was actually like a person, and you know, brighter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this person who is obviously not part of our culture is like learning how to make the food that's part of our culture.
Yes, so. That was nice. Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it tied it up nicely. It wrapped it up really nicely. But mm-hmm. up until then, I'm just like, what is happening? Right?
It was this is going on. A right strange now. Journey. Yeah.
So weird.
See? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I remembered about it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love how at the end the dad, like when we actually find out it's her son that she's like dreaming about, like the dad kind of just grumpily pushes him into the room, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, go make up with your mother.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. He's like, get in there.
Get in there.
Go deal with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be a man.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, so from those, we're gonna go into some cute little like spin-offs from regular movies. So first one we've got is Burn-E from 2008, which is a WALL-E spinoff.
WALL-E.
WALL-E. Oh, Eva.
Eva.
Oh, my goodness. So Burn-E is a little welder robot who's trying to fix this broken light outside of the ship. He's trying so hard, man. Mm-hmm. And WALL-E is just messing with this dude's life. Okay, he just he's getting distracted.
WALL-E messed with a lot of the other robots' lives.
WALL-E really caused a lot of chaos. Really, he did. Yes, and you know, I felt bad because you know Burn-E finally fixed it. And then, you know, everyone leaves the ship and he's just like, I got to turn it on. And he gets out there, he turns it on. And immediately, immediately, it's just like light 17 or whatever it is needs repair. It's just like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Poor Burn-E.
Oh.
But I love the tie into the movie and how we get to see, you know, from another perspective, you know, while WALL-E was out doing his shenanigans with Eve. Yeah. I do love that.
Oh, goodness. See, these are the type of droids I want.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I want either like WALL-E type droids or I want Star Wars type droids or we mix it together. I'll take a BB-8 and a WALL-E.
They can all hang out, really and truly.
Or what's the cleaner one's name? I always forget. Shoot, the one who like he kept like putting
I
dirt.
Love him.
He's like,
yeah,
okay, hold on.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Leaning robot name. Mo.
Oh,
that's right.
I wanted to say Max. I remember an M name.
Mo. That's
Micro
right.
Obelator, or I don't know. It actually stands for something.
Of course it does.
So
cute. I love him.
I love it.
I love him. And he hates WALL-E so much.
He does.
It's
You're
great.
Just also adorable.
They really are. They really are. Oh my gosh. Well, we're going from that adorableness to Doug's Special Mission from 2009.
Oh,
and this
yeah.
is a short little prequel where we're seeing Doug basically right before he meets his new besties. He's, you know, with the little mean canine gang who tell him to watch a rock, you know, for no reason. And on his birthday, hello, how rude Doug. Can you be? Yeah, when they're still trying to catch Kevin. But luckily for Doug, the rock rolls away and traps, you know. It's too bad it didn't actually squish the other dogs. And I like dogs, but they were mean. And they would have
deserved
it.
Yes, there was a lot of mean dogs in Up.
Yes,
it made me sad.
I didn't like it.
Well, they were trained that way.
It's fair. You know what? They can't help it. They need rehab to stop being so rude. Especially to poor Doug. Yes.
Yeah.
But again, I love this one because right at the end, we get to see, you know, how Doug actually comes to, you know, be part of the big movie for Up. So, yeah, it's just cute.
It is.
I just love Doug.
I'm Doug. And I love you.
I have just met you and I love you. Oh, me too, Doug. I love you too.
Aww.
So cute. Oh, and then we've got Auntie Edna from 2018. How could
my
we not?
Spirit animal.
We had to do an Edna short, of course. So this one came along with Incredibles 2, and it fills in a gap from the first film.
Yes.
So we get to see Edna, who happily wants to babysit little Jack-Jack.
Well,
because, of course,
after she sees that he has power. She was annoyed at the beginning.
Edna is Edna, after all. Yes. So that's fair. Yes. But happily watches him. So, yeah, she can make his little super suit and study him and all of that. But it's great just watching her deal with the many, many different aspects of Jack-Jack's powers, whatever's going on with him. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about Jack-Jack. He is something else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love in Incredibles when he's a teenager, because I want to see what's going on.
Honestly, let's do it for the third one, because we need to see a grown-up Jack-Jack.
We need to see grown-up Jack-Jack and, like, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, yes. I agree. Yeah. But this was great, seeing Edna run around. Ugh, and
love Edna.
Trying to deal with it, especially when there's like 1,000 different Jack-Jacks. I would just walk out and be like, you know what? You can have it. I'm done. I'm gonna go stay somewhere else for the night. I can't do this. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Yeah. So you know how I sent you pictures of like glasses? I was trying to figure out if I wanted or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the blue ones that you liked. Mm-hmm. Stephanie messaged me back. She's like, you look like that character off of Incredibles. I'm like, Edna? She's like, yes. I'm like, that's a compliment to me.
It really is. That's probably why I liked.
I think that's why we both liked them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I look like Edna.
Of us.
Channeling Edna with these glasses. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. Nothing wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm.
Darling.
Mm-hmm. I love her so much. Oh.
I do too. I need like a TV show of just Edna. Like,
I know. I just want to see what she's up to.
I just want to see what she's up to. I want to see her working with all these different superheroes and how she came to be. Like, I want the Edna story.
I agree. I would watch that.
Oh, so would.
100%. Uh-huh. Make it a series. Let's do it, Pixar.
Let's go.
Get on that. All right. And then our last thing we're going to talk about, which I didn't realize. I don't think I knew this was a thing. So there's a whole series called Forky Asks a Question.
You didn't like, I was so happy you did not make me watch all these again. I have seen them all.
I don't think I've ever seen any of these. I don't know.
Heard of those.
So I just picked a random one because I was like, I don't know what any of these are about. So I was like, I don't know. Let's see Forky learn about a pet, because I don't know what this is about. It was very strange. To say the least. It was it was different. But so I guess Forky asks questions and then he learns things from other toys. Kind of.
So Forky is dumb. Let's be real. This thing was a fork made into a toy by Bobby.
He's not the smartest.
And he doesn't know what's going on. So there's a whole series of him going up to certain Toy Story characters and asking a question. Normally, shenanigans happens or the wrong answer is perceived. So it's just really comedy. It's not like actually educational.
I figured that part.
So I would. He gets annoying. Gracie loved these also, and it just got annoying.
Oh, gosh.
There you go.
I've seen all of them.
Anything to make the kid happy, right?
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, when you're babysitting, it's what you do.
You do what you gotta do. 100%.
Okay. Well, in this one, Forky talks to Rib Tickles. that's the toy's name. So,
seems about right.
Yeah, she's teaching him about law enforcement and about a cat named Dragon. He can learn about pets. Yeah. And I don't know. It's the story is basically just the Rib Tickles gets eaten by the cat and then pooped out. And that's the story. I mean, that's what it is. But, you know,
I hate when that happens.
I don't even know what to do with this. But apparently this character, Rib Tickles, was in Toy Story 4 and got cut.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of the characters, I guess, not having watched any more than this one, it featured in these little shorts were characters who got cut or didn't have as much screen time that they wanted to do something with. Also, Rib Tickles is voiced by Aloma Wright, who is from one of my favorite shows, Scrubs. She is Nurse Roberts. And that made me happy. And I was like, well, that was a nice coincidence since I had no idea what was going on when I picked this random episode. So that's a nice thing that came out of this.
Interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, this was different. I like Forky. I do not know that I would watch multiple episodes of this, to be honest
with
you.
Maybe just once every once in a while. Don't do them all in a row like I had to.
Yeah, no, I do like Forky, but yeah, I don't know that I would watch several of these in a row.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Sounds like Forky is kind of like the Elmo of the Toy Story world. Like, he's great in small doses, but like a whole franchise of him would be a bit much. But like everyone... You
know. He's more annoying than Elmo.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, Elmo is like, I can relate to Elmo, especially when he talks about Rocky and he gets frustrated.
It's the greatest thing ever.
That is a classic.
Amazing.
Elmo.
Forky to me would be more of like, I don't know if there's anybody that I could really relate to Forky because Forky's just annoying.
Poor Forky.
I'm a little concerned how much he's in the fifth one. Because I'm pretty sure they made a spoon at the end of the fourth one, and she became alive, and now she's his bride or something.
Yeah, don't they get married in the previews? I think they're getting married. So now Forky's got a dumb wife to hang out with.
Because the wife freaked out because she's like, why am I alive?
I mean, that's pretty funny. If you think about life in general, Forky's got a point, you know, like... Forky's whole existence, I think I can just relate to. And that's why
I'm here. What am I? His whole life is just an existential crisis. What am I here?
It really is.
What is my purpose? What am I doing?
And that's why
that's literally what he asked, just not as intelligently.
Yes. There you go. He's trash. We're all trash, Forky. We get it. We get it.
Gosh.
Yeah. But that's it because. Yeah, but just if you're looking for something to watch, watch all of the Pixar shorts. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty great.
Yeah. Like, you didn't do the day and night one. I love day and night.
It was on the short
one. I know. It's hard. It's hard to choose.
Yeah.
But day and night's adorable.
Which one was day? I feel like I've seen that one before. Which one was day and night?
There's literally the day one. Day and two characters. That's a day and night, and they clash, and it's funny.
Yeah.
You'll have to look it up. There was one. That one's a little serious. I do like The Legend of Mordu. Riley's first date is funny. Because you're seeing this little teenage girl go on her first date. And inside out.
Riley.
Oh.
Growing up.
There was another one. I cannot remember. It might not be a Pixar one that I'm thinking of. Oh, not Lou. I did like Jerry's Game. Jerry's Game was like one of my first shorts I ever saw.
It's a classic. It's a classic, man.
It is, yeah. I do remember seeing A Bug's Life and this like little short came on ahead of time. And I'm like, why? I was old enough to be like, what is this? Why am I seeing this? Like, I didn't know what it was as a child.
Yeah.
And then it just kept happening every time I went to a Pixar movie.
Exactly. Then they're like, we're just going to have this every movie. And it's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. No. These are just so great. I love them so much.
They're all so
La
good.
La Luna is probably one of my favorites.
I had to do that one because it's just so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple shorts I'm thinking of. I wonder if they're going to be in the critically acclaimed area. I'll have to like look to see if I can find it.
I don't know. There's so many categories, you know.
I know. Well, and I think they've added categories since we like decided on this. Like, I went to go look at the categories, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you weren't there when I put this list together like five months ago.
Yeah, it's possible, honestly.
Disney Animation has created over 500 short films.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick from.
It's amazing how much, like, when you are forced to channel all your creativity into a very short time span, how much
cool stuff you can come up with.
Mm-hmm. True. I agree.
Very true.
Yeah. Like in some ways, some of these shorts are better than some movies.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are.
I completely agree.
Which is crazy, but so true.
Yeah. Creative limitations are pretty powerful things. I love seeing what people come up with. It's like, we're going to give you 3 crayons, and that's all you got to work with. What can you do with those 3 crayons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely pushes the imagination. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, and then people just take that and just make magic.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I'm trying to find, why is it always hard to find the shorts category in here?
Like, I don't know. It's on my nerves.
Categories.
Yeah, no, there's no, because I looked up shorts and there's really no shit category for shorts.
There is a category for shorts.
But you have to go like this convoluted way to get there.
You have to pick the franchise of whatever it is. It's like, oh yeah, we have all these shorts of this particular franchise or this particular story. It's not really franchise.
Well,
franchise,
it's easier to find on the TV. Like trying to find it on my phone is
I think it's very difficult. I couldn't really do it on my TV, honestly.
Because you got to go to like collections, I think, is where
I'm in collections right now. And usually there's like a Disney shorts with all the different categories for me. And because I watch them and now all of a sudden it's disappeared.
Yeah, because I remember I looked up Frozen shorts and nothing came up. And then I looked up Frozen. I was like, oh, yeah, here's like 30 Frozen things.
Yeah, you can't look up like Frozen shorts. You have to. Yeah. Someday
I'll. You got
to
watch it all. We're going to make you watch it all. If you don't want to watch it all, we're going to make you look for it. That way you spend more time on our app and we get more money.
It's a struggle.
Yeah. See, there's it's an actual category called shorts and it has literally all the shorts.
Yeah. And then you got to find what you're looking for.
There's originals, classics, Star Wars, which we did during Star Wars, critically acclaimed, animation, silly symphonies, Disney Channel shorts suck. I'm going to tell you right now, except maybe like a couple, like Big Hero 6 is cute. Mm. Cars, there's a whole bunch of Cars shorts.
Jeez.
There's so many. There's a new short with Taylor Swift.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah. Tay-Tay.
I knew it. I knew you.
Oh, for the song. Okay.
The official music video.
Oh, well, that makes sense. They would put that on there.
Yeah. Like, Fork, yes. What is reading? What is cheese?
When I was looking through here, because I've never seen this, and I was just like, what is this?
What is
Why
love?
Is Forky asking all these questions? What's happening?
What is a friend? What is money? Mm. Have you ever watched Small Fry?
No.
Which is a small version of Buzz Lightyear. Oh, it's hilarious.
Nice. No.
Okay, let's see here. Where's the critically acclaimed ones?
Mine was up higher.
Yeah, I just saw it. Oh, Feast. I love Feast. His a little puppy.
Yes.
He's adorable.
Yeah. Because I think I was going to put that on the list, and then I saw it under critically acclaimed, and I was like, oh, we'll circle back.
Yeah. Some of these, like Bayo or whatever, and Piper and Paper Man are under critically acclaimed.
Right, which we've already watched, so.
Yeah. But no, it's a Feast. Feast was the one I was looking for in Pixar. Mm-hmm. That's not in Pixar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's any others that I. Yeah, I think that's the only other one that I can think of that I absolutely like love that we haven't looked at yet.
Yeah, that'll be on the list for sure.
Yeah. Because. The rest of these, I'm like, we've already watched most of the ones that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anything else for Pixar? We're Pixar,
Pixar.
Right?
Pixar. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I got.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you go enjoy some Pixar shorts today. There's so many more than what we chose to talk about, but definitely check out the ones we talked about because they are fantastic. Especially La Luna.
Best one, honestly.
Absolutely. Yes. I am in agreement with that.
Yes. I agree too.
Yeah.
All right, Pixie Dusters, have a fabulous week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Production for today's episode was handled by the Dream Team, Ashley Danny and Sammy Brooksby. A final special thanks to Dan. His discerning perspective is the secret ingredient that helps us see the bigger picture.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.